another unmentionable event. Actually, I was changing the tape. I try to keep tapes of these shows because, as we know, my voice is invaluable and is in great demand throughout the nation. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Carl. That's a little higher there. Yes. So, what are we saying? What are we saying? We're saying that why should I be talking about the curfew when Scott Kennedy, Squawk Box Scott, on the city council, the man who single-handedly produced this completely useless Citizens Police Review Board, which has been hobbled of all powers, and then put his pet poodle on the board, Mike Hernandez, who has been doing his best to gut the board from within. Scott Kennedy, I say, came out with an excellent analysis of the curfew in the Sunday paper, the Sunday Santa Cruz County Sentinel. And I'm going to do a little reading from Scott's critique, which I think is quite apropos. I commend him and RoboCop Mike Rotkin, another city council member, for putting it out. One would only wish that they would extend the rights that they are interested in providing for teenagers to adults and allow people to sit down on the sidewalk without the threat of arrest. As you may know, Rotkin and Kennedy sponsored a second sit-on-the-sidewalk ban, which passed the city council last September and is currently in force and upheld by the municipal court, which makes it illegal to sit within 10 feet of a shop.
I've always been curious, Robert, if you feel that the people inside the stores would take you seriously, would it be out of the question to go in and ask, is it all right if I sit on the sidewalk in front of your store?
Actually.
And show them consideration.
No, I think that's really a great idea. That's a great idea, Coral, because I actually, right across from the host's table, which I encourage all of you to go down and participate in, that's going to be, as I said, as Stubbornheart Star is correct, probably around 11:30 today, and on into the afternoon. Right across from that table, right across from the Del Mar Theater on Pacific Avenue, is a place called...
Across from where?
Del Mar Theater. Right across from the Del Mar Theater on the other side of Pacific Avenue is a place called Reflexix or Miraflex. Or there's a shop, actually a loan shop, right across from that host's information center where there is a man sitting in an alcove playing a guitar. Oh, we have our mystery guest has arrived.
Hi.
Our non-human guest. Speciesism is not happening here.
That is an omen, you know, the black dog from Egypt.
We have a black dog who's arrived in the studio, and this is actually an event. But let's continue talking to you, even though the dog probably should take precedence. It's possible, as I was telling you, Coral, that I think the best thing for a performer to do, the best thing for people on the street to do, is to establish a relationship with the merchants that are there on the streets, because that's what we want to do. Unfortunately, merchants are, with some exceptions, noticeably paranoid about talking to people on the streets. That's the whole rationale for the host's program. The green shirts are there because the merchants will not go out and talk to people. And this was the problem with the street performers. A decade ago, Traveling Tom Noddy, a street performers guild spokesperson, was able to engineer, along with Jan Luby and others, an agreement which headed off a bunch of restrictive laws against street performers. And that agreement was based upon the idea and to encourage merchants to go out and talk to street performers. If you don't like this guy, you know, ask him to move on, and there's an informal agreement that people will move on after an hour. That's the Street Performers Guild agreement. Unfortunately, I talked to Tom yesterday, and he tells me that merchants don't do that. Merchants are afraid to do that, or reluctant to do that, or too busy to do that, who knows, or maybe their clerks are, not instructed to do that, don't know they can do that, and maybe we need an education campaign here. Instead, they just call the cops, and the cops, what's happened, that's in the last decade, this is when, under the street performers' guidelines, the cops have come in, and they usually kind of walk up with this document, which isn't a legal document, there's no law. And they say, well, there's a street performers thing, and you should know about this. And the cops, it gets kind of confusing. So it doesn't really act as the kind of informal give-and-take agreement that Traveling Tom had originally put it out as, and which I think is an excellent plan. Instead, it's this sort of, it's turned into a quasi-legal thing, which isn't legal at all, because there is no legal requirement for people to move on after an hour. It's just an understanding. But it's the kind of understanding I would like to see with panhandlers, people sitting down on the mall, and other problems, that there is a, I'd like to see a consensus developing about a kind of a form of behavior where we don't use the police and laws and hosts and other paramilitary class war kind of people to police innocent behavior.
Excellent way of thinking, Robert. I think it's almost a deliberate exercise of will. The last 10 years that I've lived here, I've noticed there's been an increasingly amount of tension and not willingness to talk to one another. In general, there's these cliquish kinds of things that happen, or people just don't feel comfortable just being nice to one another, just making greetings and talking to one another. And I think partly the paranoia from the press, and in all the world, we read everything that happens, we start believing it, we become part of the Zen machine, and we just don't, you know, think that we're real. We're here walking on the sidewalk and we can talk to someone that's not, quote unquote, in our class. We start not feeling good about ourselves, and we just don't trust someone else because we don't trust that we're good enough to just be who we are.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think, however, the problem also is that you do have, I mean, I do say I would like to see something substitute for force and class war. I don't want to be so naive as to suggest that the basic economic differences are going to disappear in Santa Cruz. We can all kind of get together as a community and say, okay, everything's rosy. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think, though, that the issues can be better defined, resources can be better allocated, things can be clearer. I guess, you know, in a way, I'm advocating for more room for people on the street, more room for people who are poor, more room for people who the merchants don't want to see on the street. And I'm not just I'm talking about people, not people who are mad rapists wielding machetes or, doing gang shootings downtown. I'm not excluding people, by the way, who sell drugs. I think the whole bullshit about harassing people who sell drugs is major stupidity. I also want to acknowledge, however, that the drug sales under our existing system produces criminality, violence, addiction, and, you know, it certainly does not lend itself to increased business for upper middle class yuppie businesses who want to draw in people from San Francisco and Garberville. I mean, I don't know. So there's problems here. I think the problems are... to get back to what I have trouble, what was I talking about?
Well, there's just out-and-out alienation of certain types, way people look because of misunderstandings of people just start just forming their own, you know, defenses, and they won't...
I was talking about the curfew.
There you go.
Curfew, that's it, curfew. We started with the curfew, and I, in my schizophrenic manner, wandered all over the map. Unable to maintain my strong association. I'm kind of a loose guy, so I'm full of loose associations. Would you like a loose association, perhaps, Coral? Well, that's another matter. We'll discuss that later. Loosely, yes. Curfew. Curfew is coming up at the next city council meeting, which is not in 2 weeks, incidentally. The next city council meeting is happening. Is happening next Tuesday. Next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, it's going to be consider the curfew time. And, I have some a good tape. What is this tape you want to put on, Coral? We've been handed a note to, been ordered by the boss to take a music break. But I'm going to finish my talk about the curfew and then we'll take a music break. And we're not going to take a very long one because we also have in the studio Madhouse John Stewart, who has agreed to come in, and he's on a tight schedule. And if you and we're going to kind of, he's going to give us an update on the guy who's in critical condition because of abusive treatment by mental health nicks over across the way in San Jose, or that area, more or less. But curfew-wise, Tuesday, City Council will be considering the curfew, and interestingly enough, that's the same day it's going to hit the Board of Supes as an initial introductory measure. There will be no final action taken. There won't even be a public hearing, as I understand it, though I suspect in Santa Cruz at the City Council you'll be able to speak about it. The City Council, as I said, including Scott Kennedy, has up to now opposed the curfew. Kennedy, I am told, delayed the curfew's consideration in the city a week at the request of District Attorney Drumhead Art Danner, which I find an ominous sign. This is what I heard. This is an inside rumor that I heard. But let me put on a little music for you at the request of a certain stubborn-heart star, the star of the Hound Dog the Host's Table, who's just appeared in the studio. That makes us, what, four guests we've had so far: Coral, Star, the anonymous, and a sacred dog. Black dog, and, of course, Madhouse John Stewart. You notice the order in which I put these people. So, let's have a little music, and you are listening, and will be listening, and hopefully will be calling in to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 427-3772.
Though it may seem very clear, we've got no job to give you here, so we are sending you to Vietnam. Because you told the nation, have no fear of escalation, I am trying everyone to believe. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help take Vietnam from Vietnamese. I jumped off the old troop ship and sank in mud up to my hips. I kept until the captain called me down. Never mind how hard it's raining, think of all the ground we're gaining, just don't take one step outside of town. Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation, I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. Every night the local gentry slip out past the sleeping sentry, they go out to join the old VC. In their nightly little drama, they put on their black pajamas and come lobbing mortar shells at me. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation, I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. We go around in helicopters like a bunch of big grasshoppers searching for the Viet Cong. And they left the note that they had gone, they had to get down to Saigon, their government positions to maintain. And Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear, I'm everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. Well, here I sit in this rice paddy, wondering about Big Daddy, and I know that Lyndon loves me so. Yeah, how sadly I remember way back yonder in November when he said I'd never have to go. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation, I am trying everyone to leave. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese.
Okay, and you're back with Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and you're back with Free Radio Santa Cruz. And again, our lines are waiting for you to give a call after the next segment where, as they say in the radio business, we're going to be getting an update on the mental illness business, or the system of incarcerating people for the alleged purpose of helping them out, way out, perhaps, or way in. Anyway, with us is an expert on the subject, a man who's been through the ranks, been through the ropes, been through the whole scene. Been through the hell system, and who has actually been keeping his eye on the papers to check out this latest case, which he previewed, I believe, both on his show and on my show in the past. Why don't you briefly update us on who did what about in the past and kind of and where we are now on this case? A fellow in the San Jose, or
there's a man named Joseph Leitner who's on in Valley Medical Center on life support in a persistent vegetative state, according to the reports, the paper. There were have been three articles in the San Jose Mercury. I heard a report on KPFA 2 weeks ago. The report is this man, Joseph Leitner, was picked up on downtown streets of San Jose, shouting obscenities, taken to Santa Clara County Jail, held in one cell and then put in a padded cell, then taken to the psychiatric cell block of the county jail, where he arrived in a comatose state, so-called. I've got it here. Comatose state, so-called, and subsequently taken to Valley Medical Center, where he is now, according to the last paragraph of the article in yesterday's paper.
Yesterday's San Jose Mercury News.
Right, in yesterday's San Jose Mercury, let's see, the article says, since that night, that's on July the 24th, since that night, Leitner hasn't uttered a word or squeezed his mother's hand. Day after day, he stares wild-eyed but unseeing. Quote, it's been really hard on all of us, said his mother, Rita Leitner. They only say they're sorry and we'll try to get answers.
Now, in other words, this is because essentially when they brought him in, they throttled him, covered him up with a blanket. What in fact was the charge on that, John?
Well, I was going to get to that. I was going to give the skim over, then go back. The reports on KPFA were that his head had been covered with a blanket, and then a belt had been tightened around his neck, depriving his brain of oxygen for 8 to 10 minutes, according to the doctor's report. According to the San Jose Mercury's first article on this, which is entitled Mystery Shrouds Inmate's Injury, four jail workers are taken off the job. The fact is there's really no mystery. According to KPFA and other reports, they have video cams of the action taken against Joseph Leitner. He was interviewed by a mental health worker in the jail, according to reports, and assaulted. He was beaten up. He was thrown in a padded cell. They report that he was slapping himself and beating himself in the face and causing himself to bleed in the mouth, and then he was spitting blood, and they put a bedcloth, quote, over his head. They subsequently reviewed their policy on putting bedcloths, quote, over people's heads and put out a letter deciding that that wasn't such a great idea, although they didn't really have a written policy on it to begin with. The fact is that this man, Joseph Leitner, had a mental health system history going back several years. He was classified as so-called manic depressive, and he was on that incredibly dangerous, physically destructive lithium salt. The article in yesterday's Mercury News evidences uncritical acceptance of the psychiatric ideology by the reporter. The Leitner is reported to be in good shape when he's on his lithium. I know plenty of people who, regardless of their lithium, go into their ecstatic states. They have fun. They go twice as fast or half a time faster than you go. They talk faster. They think faster. We do. I've been there. In any event, Leitner apparently either threw away his lithium when he decided that maybe it had destroyed his intestinal tract and his adrenal glands and his kidneys badly enough so that he was going to the urinal 5-10 times a day because of this stuff, and he couldn't handle it anymore, or he just went off, you know, and hates the system. Regardless of that, regardless of what he did, the point is that he had a psychiatric label, They found out, they knew it, and they did this to him. And the warning is, I would like to make it clear that this should be a warning to everyone. Stay away from the mental health system. Don't go there for help. There's no help to be gotten there. It's problematic what will happen to you within 5 years. You may be in Joseph Leitner's condition. You can't get a guarantee from a mental health professional, psychiatrist, psychologist, or psychotherapist that you won't be in Napa State Hospital or on the 8th floor of Santa Clara County Jail or in the Santa Cruz County Jail with a prolix and need a shot in your buttocks in a somnambulistic sleepwalking state as a consequence of having a psychiatric label. You just went there to get help, but that's the problematic consequences of going there.
Now, John, have you heard of cases here in Santa Cruz in the last 2 or 3 years that one way or another are reminiscent of what's this guy, Leitner's case?
Yeah.
Joseph Leitner's case. Anybody you know been in a similar situation?
No, not offhand.
Coral actually is saying she has. Maybe we should get her to.
Okay. You want to jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, Coral. What do you say about this?
Well, a friend of mine who is manic depressive and I guess didn't take his meds. They're not really sure, but they're accusing him of a lot of other things. When he went into Dominican, they took away all his rights. They wouldn't let him have any kind of music. All he wanted was just to hear his music. At the time, KMBY was still playing. He would call up on the phone and try to hear it. He would just, he would be at the phone booth all the time. So finally, they took away his phone privileges. They did everything to harass him because he knew too much. He was in there on false pretenses. They detained him more than he went in, actually, because he hurt his leg, to the emergency room. And because of an argument with his mother, she called the police, and it was a ridiculous scene. So the police didn't want to take him in, but they had to. And because of that, when he went to the emergency room, then they took him over to Dominican Hospital, the psych unit. And instead of staying 72 hours, he ended up staying not 10 days, but he had to stay, I think, as more like 21 days, and it was a big runaround, big expense to taxpayers, like over $10,000. He was, it was not necessary. All he wanted to do was get his lithium checked, and it cost the taxpayers thousands of dollars when everybody knew it was bullshit.
You know, I don't know. I guess we don't have a case specifically of brutalization here, but
actually, we do.
Perhaps John will get one, but before he does, I wanted to say that the problem with a brutalization case, particularly on a psych ward, is how in the hell can you sue the psych ward? I mean, who's going to believe somebody with a label that says you're manic depressive?
They also falsify records, whiteout.
You know, and also the records are put into a huge confidentiality situation where it's hard to get access to the records. So people in psych wards are especially privilege, that is, the employees in psych wards are especially protected from that kind of legal redress. So I don't know if Leitner's parents are going to get any satisfaction over in San Jose. And John, you say you know of a local case where there's some brutalization?
Our friend who was in a confrontation with the manager owner of the ID building, who got railroaded into jail on a
Crossroads Chris Brosda, yeah.
Right, on a criminal charge, and ended up in the psychiatric inner sanctum jail. That's a jail inside the jail where they threw him in solitary, according to him, and shot him up with Prolix, and I believe it was, or Haldol. They wouldn't listen to him. His refusals to go. He didn't want psychiatric treatment. He didn't want any of it. You understand, but he got it regardless, so he got brutalized in there. The thing about the mental health system is there's no essential change. The only changes that have occurred in the mental health system in 200 and some years of asylums and madhouses and snake pits and such is that there have been innumerable reforms which have covered up, as it were, from the public's view, the inner hell worlds that exist there. And this this awful tragic circumstance that occurred to, that happened to Joseph Leidner, reveals the inner hell world that exists. 4 years ago was the case of four men in Vacaville, locked in their cells, who died during a heat wave because their body would not accommodate to the temperature rise, because that's what Haldol does to people. Haldol, the psychiatric drug, eliminates the body's ability to adjust itself to increasing heat, that you essentially boil inside as a consequence. The solution to this problem was to offer the in the future cold showers.
Cold showers. That seems to be the answer. The point
I want to make again and again, as often as I can, is to warn people to stay away from the mental health system. Form networks with your friends so that you can make it all right to talk about your experiences, and they won't turn you into the shrinks. Make it all right to talk about killing yourself. Make it all right to talk about killing other people. You know, you understand? Make it all right to talk about anything you want to talk about, so that, and your friends promise not to turn you into the shrinks, because you need to talk about things. If you keep it shut up inside and don't talk about it, that's what happens to most of us. We shut it up inside. We have been propagandized to accept and indoctrinated to practice and socialized to submit to psychiatric conditions without question. So this article in yesterday's San Jose Mercury is full of psychiatric propaganda. The headline on the back page says, "How safety net collapsed beneath a mentally ill man." There's no damn safety net for anybody in the United States. That's a bullshit. And to say that anybody is falling through safety nets implies there's some kind of safety net there, but, oh, oops, there's a hole in it. That's bullshit. There's no safety net. That's some propaganda for the mental health system. Worse than that is to go along with the bullshit that there is such a thing as mental fucking illness to begin with. We are people who at our best have terrible experiences or incredibly vivid experiences out of the normal experiences that are so extreme and so out of the normal that we fearfully close ourselves off from our friends, because if we tell them about them, they'll stick us in the damn mental hospital. Rather than treating us as someone who's come back from a foreign country with an interesting story, people treat us as crazy because we've come back from an out-of-normal experience and we want to talk about it and try to understand it.
Well, I have to say that there may be an element of romanticization here, John. I mean, I think some of the fault has to be laid with people who are intolerant or so conditioned to be intolerant. Not simply they'll turn you over to a psychiatrist, but they just don't want to listen to you because they will regard it as something that they cannot deal with one way or another. We have been trained to believe we cannot deal with the unusual.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying is not so much they'll turn you over to a psychiatrist. Is they want you, the fear is that you will, they'll break their relationship with you. They will somehow penalize you or sanction you. And not simply that they'll dump you in a hospital. Usually, more likely, they just want anything to do with you. They'll back off from you. And that's the fear, I think, that stops us from communicating with each other a lot on these issues.
No, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, right. As addition to what I have to say. Right. Right. But I'm warning people, yeah. I want people to get over the thing about, the networks I want people to form are those that the condition is, you can tell me your story. My condition with people is this: you can tell me what's going on with you, and I won't turn you into a cop or a shrink. You understand? I might not like your story. I might get tired of it. I might decide, well, I've had enough of this story, and I have a right to do that. You understand? And we all have that right. That's different from saying, you're crazy, I'm going to turn you into a shrink. Or on the other hand, nobody really ever says that. They kind of close the door quietly and start mollifying you and cajoling you and smoothing things over and trying to talk to you like, well, you're, you know.
Again, I think one of the problems is not simply turning you over to a shrink, but what are you going to do to reassure people that their relationship with you is not going to be compromised? If you say, you know, I've always wanted to suck off antelopes. I had this incredible dream about a, you know, a bizarre experience where I murdered these three women. How can you talk to a friend about this without feeling that you're going to lose your relationship with that person?
You have to talk to your friends in advance.
Right.
That make it all right. You have to go, hey, Robert, when I tell you about my experiences, I don't want you to turn me into a shrink. You can decide you don't want to hear what I have to say,
right.
And you can say, John, that's too bizarre. I don't want to hear it. You're out of my world.
Right.
You have your version of reality, and I have my version of reality. And John, your version of reality is just too far out for me today.
Right.
Sorry, you understand?
Right.
Don't take offense, John. You can say that.
Right.
You know, don't take offense, John. I'm not closing the door on you. It's just at this time, at this moment, that version of reality is a little too far out for me. Let me off on this one, okay? So it can be like that. And then you also say, but John, I won't turn you into a shrink. It's important to have that element in there, Robert, regardless. I understand the point you're making, which is an important point, you understand? But what happens is, if enough people do what you say, you know, like become a little bit worried about it, and don't want to be involved with it, and then they get to talking to each other about it.
Right.
And then they get to talking